Now listen, if God's at hand, and if he's on duty, and he's present 24/7, is he? Let's try that again. Is he? Okay. Is there any reason under God's heaven why you and I cannot be content? So let's learn in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. I know it's customary in this church to stand for the reading of the Word of God, so I think I'd like to do that this morning. So if you could stand, if you do that, Philippians chapter 4. Just remain standing once I finish reading, and I'll have a brief word of prayer and then a rather long sermon following that. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, I never did know how to pronounce these two people, okay? Euodia, some call it Euodia, some call it Syntyche, some call it Syntyche. One preacher couldn't pronounce them. He called them Odious and Stinky. I beseech Euodia and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the Lord of peace, the God of peace, shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you've well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God always blesses his word. Let's pray. Father, what a joy and privilege it is to meet together here today. We seek thy blessing. Lord, if anything of lasting and eternal value is to happen this hour, thou art the one who's going to have to do it. Yet you see fit through preaching to save those that are lost, to stir the hearts of your people, and to honor and glorify yourself. Help me to lift high the person of the Lord Jesus. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A number of years ago, my wife and I were in a series of meetings in a local church, staying with some friends of ours. And one morning, we got up just a little later than the rest of the household. So we were sitting at the table having a little breakfast. I had a cup of coffee. I asked the lady of the house if she had some milk or cream that I could put in my coffee. She went to the refrigerator and checked, and she said, "I'm sorry, but all I have is canned milk." I said, "That'll be fine." So she gets the can out of the refrigerator, goes over to the cabinet, going to get a little fancy pitcher to put it in. And I said, "Don't dirty the pitcher, just put the can on the table. That's fine with me." So she did. I put a little in my coffee, very little. I hate canned milk. Matter of fact, Right after that, I started drinking my coffee black. And so I put a little in, sitting there having a breakfast, and I started reading the label on the milk can. And the label said, milk from contented cows. I won't give any brand names away, but it's Carnation. And I thought, as I read that title, milk from contented cows, I thought, if cows can be content, why can't people? So what I did for the next probably several months, every time I was with a dairy farmer, probably have some dairy farmers here today, are at the present time or have been, I would quiz them a little because I don't know much about cows. My whole family were commercial fishermen. We didn't catch cows. And so I was with one dairy farmer and I said, is it true? Is, you know, milk from contented cows. Can cows be content or discontent? He said, oh yes, it's a proven fact. He said, matter of fact, he said, if a barn, dairy barn, is located near a busy highway, just the noise of the vehicles, cars, trucks, et cetera, going by will sometimes upset the cows, and it affects the quality and the quantity of the production of the cow. Another farmer told me they tried an experiment in the barn. They played rock music, okay? And he said it seriously upset the cows. And then you wonder it messes up people, okay? It seriously upset the cows and their production and their quality, okay? So I'll call my sermon this morning my sermon from cows. Sermon simply entitled, Contented Christians. And I've spoken on this subject here. I taught the book of Philippians here at your church. But in recent days, recent months, I am meeting more and more believers who seemingly have lost, if they ever had it, have lost their contentment in Jesus Christ. I see frustration. I see anxiety. I see unhappiness. Okay? Sometimes sad to say, even bitterness. Paul said after 30 years of being saved, okay, in verse 11 of chapter 4, he said, I've learned something. Here's what he said, I've learned. I've learned in whatever state I am to be as miserable as possible and try to make everybody else around me also miserable. That's in the reverse vision. He said, I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Title of my message, Contented Christians. Now, I don't mean content with your walk with the Lord, even content with your service for the Lord. I mean being content with the Lord. Just satisfied with Jesus. The word contentment means fulfillment. It means satisfaction. Okay? And by the way, contentment is not found in getting what you want. Contentment is found in wanting what you get. See, it doesn't matter what God gives me. If my eyes are on Him, then my contentment is found. You say, yeah, that was easy for Paul to say that. He didn't live in 2022. No, but keep in mind where he was when the Holy Spirit used him to give us the epistle to the Philippians. He wasn't in a jail per se, but he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in Rome with a soldier chained to him around the clock. Paul said, in every city, I know that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me. So with a soldier chained to him, changed every 6 hours, around the clock, he writes and says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. For those of us who know Jesus Christ this morning, can you say, can I say, I've learned? Can I say, I'm learning? Can I say, I am willing to learn in whatever state I am therewith to be content? I read a story years ago of a man owned a beautiful mansion. And he decided he was going to give his mansion away. So it was on a well-known highway. He put a big, large sign right over the entrance of his driveway. And the sign basically said, any person driving by reading this sign who is 100% content and satisfied in life, drive in and I'll give you my mansion. So a guy was riding down the road, full speed. He thought, man, I didn't read that right. He hit the brakes, he backed up, he read it again. He looked in and said, man, that thing's beautiful. He said, I'm fully content, so I'll go in. So he drives in, the owner comes out, they talk for a moment. He said, I read your sign. He said, what'd you say? It said, if you're driving by and you're fully content, totally satisfied, come on in. and you'll give us this beautiful mansion. Is that really true? Yeah. So he said to him, sir, are you fully satisfied? Are you totally content? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, then why do you want my mansion? You saw that coming, didn't you? Yeah. You know, we say, listen, if I just had this, I'd be content. We get this and we want that. I read the story of a grave marker in London, England. It said, she died for want of things. The grave site right beside it had a marker, said he died trying to provide them for her. Okay, now ladies, that could be the other way around too, I realize, okay? So what is really contentment? Listen to what the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, a man of God, listen what he had to say about contentment. He said, I'm content with whatever entertainment I meet with. That must be the spirit of all those who travel and make journeys with me. If a dinner ill-dressed, a hard bed, a poor room, a shower of rain, or a dirty road will put them out of humor, it lays a burden upon me greater than all the rest put together. Now listen to this. By the grace of God, I never fret. I repine at nothing. I am discontented with nothing. And to have persons at my ear fretting and murmuring at everything is like tearing the flesh off my bones. Wow. I never fret. I'm not discontent. Okay? And to have folks doing that. What is it? Contentment. Little poem. Fret not for want of earthly things, they'll never satisfy. The secret of contentment is to let the Lord supply. So here in Philippians, Paul says, I've learned to be content. So if we're lacking contentment today, satisfaction, fulfillment, I don't know if you noticed or not, the world's a mess. Have you been able to observe that? Oh, you have. Okay. And by the way, okay, I have news for you. Washington's not going to solve it. Okay? And being from Canada, I've even got further news. Ottawa's not going to have too much to do with it either. Okay? No. It rests in the hand of Almighty God. So is it possible for you and me to be a contented, satisfied? It doesn't mean there aren't going to be problems. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be trying times. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be times of doubt. They'll come. Okay? But does that mean that you and I can be fully, absolutely content, fulfilled, and satisfied because of my relationship with Almighty God in Jesus Christ? If I can, then that's what biblical Christianity is all about. If I cannot be, something is wrong, and I'll tell you this, the problem is not on God's side, the problem is on your side and on my side. So let's see today what made the Apostle Paul a contented Christian. Paul said, whether I'm in health or heartache, I've learned to be content. Whether I'm affluent or in abject poverty, I've learned to be content. Whether I'm full or famished, I've learned to be content. Whether I'm abased or abounding, I've learned to be content. Whether I'm the victim or the victor, I have learned to be content. Number one, Paul said, I've learned to be a contented Christian because the record is permanent. Look at verse 3. He says, out of my fellow laborers, then he says this, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. Question. Okay, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? If you're saved today and absolutely sure of it, say amen. That wasn't too bad. Okay, but since you didn't know it's coming, I'll give you another chance. If you're saved and you really know it, say amen. Now listen, if you can't be satisfied, who can? You know why? Your name's in the book. And Revelation chapter 20 says, in the last days, the great white throne judgment, the books are going to be open, and then the book is going to be open. And that book's the book of life. And he said, whoever was not found written in that book will be cast into the lake of fire. So my dear friend, listen carefully. If you're here today, you do not know Jesus, okay? You do not know him personally. You may know about him. you've never put your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, listen to me carefully, please. Don't walk out of this auditorium. Don't leave this property today until you've settled the eternal destiny of your soul. You know why? You're only a heartbeat from eternity. You're only a heartbeat from eternity. Brother Micah, down here today, Dad Kevin, so on. I had the joy of introducing the dad, his grandfather, Kevin's dad to Christ, and Kevin, so on. Last Sunday, I preached in Millbridge, Maine, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday afternoon, we went to a nursing home in Harrington, Maine, and visited a lady by the name of Linda Rolfe. By the way, the same name as the pastor's wife in Millbridge. Her name's Linda Rolfe also, no relation. And Linda Rolfe and her husband, Gardy, he went home to be the Lord a couple years ago, came to Christ many years ago. They were great friends with Micah's grandfather and grandmother. They spent a lot of time together. Harold Grant was in the hospital in Machias. Kevin Grant, along with Micah, along with Philip, and along with the associate pastor, Mark, came to our place a week ago yesterday and hauled and hauled and hauled truckloads to the dump. I don't know who gathered it all. Somebody must have been visiting there at the house. Figured you'd get that. Okay? So Kevin told me that his dad was in the Machias Hospital. So my wife drove over to the hospital, spent a good period of time there. He was not doing well. Then I got a phone call saying that he'd gone home to be with the Lord. Okay? What a joy to be able to spend that time last Sunday with him just before home of the good. But okay, many years ago, many, many years ago, when Kevin was a teenager, his mom went home to be with the Lord. And tonight I'm going to share with you the portion of scripture that she asked me to preach at her funeral. Okay? But I was reminded again of the goodness and the graciousness of our God. And you know how they happened to start coming to church? Harold worked at the Georgia Pacific Mill. He saw her on one of Coles Express trucks. Don't just send your kids to church or your family to Sunday school. Take them. So he came home and said to his wife, you know, we need to be sending our kids to Sunday school. And his wife basically said, we all need to be going to church. So they started coming. I had the joy of seeing them come to Christ. Satisfaction is only found in him. Now, why do you say Paul could be a condemned Christian because his name was in the book? Because listen, folks, God's not working on you and me just for today. God's getting me ready for all eternity. You see, one man said his favorite portion of scripture in all the Bible is, and it came to pass. He said, thank God it doesn't come to stay. Well, that may not be the same way you'd translate that little statement, right? But see, things down here are only temporary. At the very best, you're going to live to be 80, 85, 90. Can you believe anybody ever having a 95th birthday? Oh, hi, brother. God bless you. Happy birthday to you a few days early, okay? And to think of the years of faithful service for Jesus Christ. Amen. Labor Day weekend, we had two ladies at Living Waters, each 98 years of age. The goodness of the hand of God. But no matter what age you are today, God's good, isn't he? All the time. So if you're saved and your name's in the book, your eternal destiny is settled. So why have you got to get all uptight? Okay? I'm like Billy Graham said, I've read the last chapter of the book. It's going to turn out all right. Absent from the body is what? I've read a little bit about heaven. I'll tell you what's better than this. Really is. So Paul said, I've learned to be content. The record's permanent. My name is in the book. But we have the recording in verse 3, but then we have something else in the very next verse, okay? Not only the recording, we have the rejoicing. What is it? If your name's in the book, you ought to be what? Rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, that was awful weak. Let's try that again. Rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say, Paul said, just in case you didn't get it, I'll repeat it. The joy of the Lord. We sang this morning about joy to the world. Thank God that joy can be yours in Jesus Christ. Milk from contented cows. I've learned, Paul said, in whatever state I am. Didn't matter if it was Maine, Massachusetts, California. No, whatever condition of life I'm in, I've learned to be content. Is your name in the book? If it is, you can be content. Number two, Paul said, I've learned to be content, not only because the record is permanent, but he said the Redeemer is present. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 at the end of the verse says this, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, if you read commentaries, Bible authors, Bible scholars, many of them, not all, but many of them feel that that has specific reference to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Okay? And they're probably right, but I don't agree with them. I believe you can apply it to that. But you know what I think that has reference to? I believe that what that has reference to is this. Paul's saying, the Lord's at hand. Question, when someone's at hand, where are they? Right there. Here's what he's saying. God's at hand 24/7. He's ever present. When you get up this morning, the Lord is at hand. You come here to the church, the Lord is at hand. When you go back home, the Lord is at hand. He's present here, he's present there. Matter of fact, Jesus said to his disciples, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Now, I've used it so many times in this church, and if you ever have the misfortune of hearing me again, I will use it again. But I have that little scrap piece of paper in my Bible. It simply talks about practicing the presence of God. Now listen, if God's at hand, and if he's on duty, and he's present 24/7, is he? Let's try that again. Is he? Okay. Is there any reason under God's heaven why you and I cannot be content? Okay? Any reason why we cannot be fulfilled, finding satisfaction? No. He's at hand. So let me give it to you just quickly again. Probably some new people haven't heard it. The others have. Just turn your hearing off, and I'll be back to you in a few minutes. Genesis 17:1. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Question, if Abraham's walking before God, where's God? He's behind me. So I've got God behind me to back me up. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, thou shalt walk after the Lord your God. Question, if I'm walking after God, where's God? He's before me to guide me. So I've got God before me to guide me. I got him behind me to back me up. Psalm 91:1. Okay, Psalm 91:1 says we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, where's God? He's above me. So I got him ahead of me to guide me, back me to back, behind me to back me up, and above to protect me. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, underneath are the everlasting arms. So where's God? He's beneath me. So before me to guide me, behind me back me up, below to support, and above to protect. But Genesis 5:24 says Enoch walked with God. And Genesis 6:9 says Noah walked with God. If you're walking with someone, where are they? Right beside you. Okay? And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Trying to follow my Savior and King. That's it. He's beside me. That's it. To comfort me. To encourage me, to fulfill me in every aspect of life. Then we have Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me. So if you're saved today, where's God? He's in you. Now listen. He's before you to guide you, behind your back, you have blow to support, above to protect, either side to fellowship, and he lives within as a constant companion, and you're miserable. And you've got problems, you've got difficulties that he can't handle, you've got circumstances beyond his control. Don't think so. But that's not all. There's one more. This one is in Psalm, make sure I get the right verse, I believe it's 34:7, yeah. This one is in Psalm 34:7. Here's what it says. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So where's God? He's all around me. You got it? The Lord's at hand. before me to guide me, behind me to back me, I'm blow to support, buff protect, either side to fellowship, lives within as a constant companion, and he's all around to garrison and guard me with the divine presence of himself. Why can't I rejoice in the Lord always? And again I say, rejoice. Contented Christians. If cows can be content, why can't Christians? Thirdly, how many points you got? Well, where's my last time with you for a while? 21. Paul said the record's permanent. He said the Redeemer's present. Here's the third one. Be ready for this one. This one's going to throw you for a loop. Paul said, you know why I'm a contented Christian? Because the redeemed are precious. He said, you want to know what makes me a contented Christian? My fellow believers. You said, that's what's got me so uptight. You know, to live above with the saints you love, well, that was... Excuse me, to live above with the saints you love, well, that would be glory. But to live below with the saints you know, well, that's another story. Listen to what he said. Look what he said here. Verse 1. He said, my brethren, my dearly beloved, okay, my dearly beloved, he said, my longed for, he said, my joy, he said, my crown, okay, my dearly beloved. Look what he said in verse 3. True yoke fellow, fellow laborers. Look at verse 10. Your care of me. Brother Mark was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Needing and caring one for another. Okay? Verse 14. What's it say? You communicated with my affliction. You checked with me. See how I was doing. Verse 15. He said concerning giving and receiving, you are alone in that area. Then verse 16, he said, more than once you sent unto my necessity. So Paul said, listen, you want to know what it makes me a contented Christian? It's the dear, precious people, the members of the family of God. And I want to tell you something this morning, folks. There are some problems within the family. Why wouldn't it be? It's made up of people. There's some problems in the family because you're in it and I'm in it. Okay? But I want to tell you, there's nothing compares with the family of God. When Bill Gaither wrote that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. God's dear people. Don't look at people for what they were. Don't even see them for what they are. See them for what they can be by the grace of God. And so how important. Paul said, listen, you know what makes me a contented Christian? My fellow believers. As I said, we moved to Newport 47 years ago, so we've been 47 years in this ministry of local church evangelism. When we started out, left the pastorate, started out, got our home through Farmers Home Administration. That's a story in itself. And a dear lady who attended this church was the secretary in the office. When I called there and I said, this is Wendell Calder, does it mean a thing to you? She said, means quite a lot to me, Reverend Calder. She said, you led many, several of my relatives to Christ. And one of them was the lady that I visited last Sunday. God puts it all together. But when we started this ministry, we determined before God, Lord, you've called us. We're going to trust you. Didn't have a clue in the world what the income would be. Had no stated salary, had just left the church where we'd been for 13 years. And by the way, if God wills, January 15th, they've asked me if I would preach the 60th anniversary of Woodland Baptist Church. 60 years, I was 7 years of age when I founded the church. But when we started the ministry 47 years ago, I said, Lord, I believe it's your will that we operate a debt-free ministry. And I stand here to tell you something this morning. For over 47 years, there has never been a month when the bills have not been paid and the gifts were there on time. Had a line of credit at the bank. Many of you remember Tillotson Cook, who was the president of the bank for years. He said, you want a line of credit? I said, yeah. Sign me up for a line of credit. To God be the glory. Never had to use it. Every month, and we stand today as a debt-free ministry to the goodness and to the glory of Almighty God. Folks, if we can't be content, who can? What'd he say? He said, the redeemed are precious, God's people. And by the way, that's only because of the dear, precious people of God. It's only because of folks like you, churches like this one across the country, the goodness. But you know what? I have a solemn responsibility before God to make sure we handle every penny wisely in the light of eternity. I've learned to be content. How you doing? The record's permanent. My name's in the book. Okay? The Redeemer's present. The Lord's at hand. The redeemed are precious. Fourthly and finally, don't you dare say amen. It's 4 minutes, I believe, to 11 o'clock, and I'll keep you updated every 20 minutes. Paul said, I've learned to be content because the record's permanent, the Redeemer's present, and the redeemed are precious. But he said, I've learned to be content because the resources are powerful. Look at verse 13. I can do. That's so much better than say, oh, I can't. Oh, I can't do. Oh, I can't. I can do all things. But don't miss the next part. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to, not out of, but according to his riches in glory. You know what we have? Verse 13, we have all strength. Verse 19, we have all supply. And when my God says that all the strength of the Godhead is mine in Jesus Christ and all the resources of heaven are mine, then why can't I say with the apostle, I've learned, I'm learning, I'm willing to learn in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, founder of Moody Bible Institute, he called Philippians 4:19 God's blank check. I'll give you what he had to say, and then I'm done. I'm not done, but it's time to quit. The firm, my God, the promise shall supply. The amount, all you need. The capital, according to. The bank, in glory. And the signature, by Christ Jesus. He said the firm can never go bankrupt. The promise is absolutely certain. The amount, always sufficient. The capital is limitless. The bank cannot be robbed. And the signature is on every check. There's only one thing missing. A check is absolutely... Pastor loves how I color my notes, so I put them up so you can see them. I colored a lot as a kid. The signature is by Christ Jesus. But a check is absolutely worthless unless you turn it over and endorse it. And a lot of us are living like spiritual bums and paupers because we've never endorsed God's blank check. Father.